He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. Welcome to a new week. Welcome to the last day of January 2022. This is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, along with Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst. Barry, we had a little snow here on Saturday. You get a little snow at your house?
Yeah, we did. It didn't last too long, but kids got out there just for a minute. But this month has flown by for sure.
Pretty strange weather here for Charleston. Well, the market's all over the map here so far today. But with an upwards bent here, especially in the NASDAQ, you're getting 2 days in a row of NASDAQ rally. I looked underneath. Maybe it's gotten stronger, however, since I looked. And I didn't really see your typical leaders, you know, the Apples of the world, the Facebooks, etc. But I will be watching it, obviously, throughout the day. And right now we have NASDAQ up 226, it looks like. The Dow is down 14 points. The S&P is up 22 points. That's about a half of a percent. The small cap index, which really looks probably the worst of all the indexes, it's up just 0.2% today. The oil stocks are pretty flat today. Oil is at 86.89. Not much movement there in oil. Gold's up $10 to $17.96. Silver's up 15 cents to $22.45. What's the 10-year doing today? 1.80 on the 10-year. We were at 1.86 after Powell's press conference. And Bitcoin's down 262 to 37,607. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 22 years in the saddle, 23 years, and Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst. Barry, it will be a big week of earnings this week. I think we're going to have 109 something,
right. Yeah, I mean, basically over 20% of the S&P 500 reporting this week.
Yeah, and we get to some really, really key names. Tomorrow it will be Google and AMD, I think, will be a couple of the watched reports. How has earnings season gone so far? Well, I would say not as strong as it has been lately. I want to say about 77% of the companies have beat earnings, but it's a little bit on the ho-hum side. I have started to see some downgrades to earnings for the S&P 500 this year, 2021, the year we're in, and 2022. We saw a big shrinkage in the multiple, okay? That is proof of what we've been telling you about how multiples shrink as interest rates go higher. And they haven't even really started to go higher yet. But, Barry, that forward P.E. on the S&P 500 has gone from 23 down to 19. That's the biggest contraction I have seen. I can't even remember when we saw a contraction like that.
And if you do the math, that's a 17% decline, right? In terms of the multiple, which is a pretty good determination of what's happened in the market, right? I mean, look where we're at, especially when you look at the NASDAQ. We're probably down close to in that 17%-ish range, right?
Yeah, so far this year.
You know, most of it, it hadn't been, you know, we haven't really seen it as a problem on the earnings side, right? It's been really in that PE multiple contraction. So
absolutely. And, let's just use round numbers. If the S&P were going to make $200 in earnings next year and you were using a 23 multiple, which is where we were at, you've got a $4,600 target price, okay? But now that you're at a 19 multiple, that's a 3,800 target price. That's a very material change that has happened. And, you know, I pointed out the fact, I gave a little history lesson in my newsletter over the weekend. Paul Volcker took interest rates from 11% to 20% back in 1981, and he actually intentionally brought about a recession because of the runaway inflation. He felt like that was the way to get it under control, and he did get it under control, okay? But interest rates during his reign went from 11% to 18%. The market, the S&P 500 during that period of time went down 28%, which isn't that bad. But the only thing you got to remember, when he started doing that, interest rates were already at 11%. We're at 0% right now, Barry. So, you know, that statement by the Fed that we're in a position to go pretty far, pretty fast, is true. I mean, Volcker took it from 11 to 20, and Powell is starting at zero. Okay, so you know, I've seen most people now are up to 8 or 7. The Fed has 7 meetings this year, so most people, most of the big analysts, are at 7 interest rate hikes right now. So that would take the multiple up, what, 1.75 from where it's at. That could put the 10-year, you know, in the mid-3s by the right end of the year.
Yeah, and I throw some of those big bank numbers out the door a bit because it's in their best interest, right, for, no pun intended, for interest rates to get higher because they're going
right
to do better during so, yeah, I tend to pay attention a bit more to those wirehouse numbers. Even some of the bond folks, right? You look at, you know, say like a BlackRock or some, you know, some of those, you know, bigger bond, holding companies, because it, you know, obviously those rate hikes, right, are gonna be detrimental to some of those bond prices. But some of those banks I've seen who have just thrown, you know, went from like 4 to 9 hikes. I'm like,
yeah,
well, it's probably in your best interest
if
that happens. So it's a little tricky.
Let's do a little math, though. If we go from the current rate of 1.8 to 3% by the end of the year,
mm-hmm,
I mean, that's a 70% raise from 1.8 to 3.
Right. Yep.
Okay, what impact would that have on the long-term multiple of the markets, more in the 16 to 17 range? And we're still at 19.
Right. And I think the market's more on that, you know, they're paying, you know, if you look at it, they're paying way more attention to that short-term part of the curve, right? When that's the, you know, whether it's 1.25 by the end of the year, which would be 5 quarter point hikes, or you know, even 7, right? You're at essentially at 1.75, and how much effect that's going to have on the 10-year will be unique, because you know, there's camps that think, you know, of course, that interest rates are going to be lower for longer, right? That
yep.
we're in just kind of that type of cycle. You take a Japan, for example, which would keep the longer end of the curve, right, kind of under control while you're raising short-term rates. But what we don't want to happen, right, is the old inverted yield curve, where you have the short-term rates higher than long-term rates, which, what, I mean, I don't know the percentages, but probably 8 out of 10 times, right, and leads to some form of a recession, right? And so that's kind of the trickiest piece, I think, to me.
You saw I published that that yield curve over – that was the scariest chart of all, I guess, you know, that I saw.
Yep.
Back in October, we had a spread of 125 basis points between the 2 and the 10-year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now that spread has been cut in half, okay? It's at 62.5. It's been cut in half. And it broke down. It broke support last week and is headed to hell right now. That's the way it looks.
Which tells us the curve is flattening. So when you think
yep.
of, when you think of, you know, essentially if we're going to borrow money today versus borrowing, like think of a 30-year mortgage, right? In general, your short-term rate, right, if we're borrowing for 30 days, should be cheaper than borrowing for 30 years, right?
Yes.
In a normal environment. And so what's happening is that longer end of the curve is, is coming down, or at worst, staying the same, and then that short-term part is going up. So what you're seeing in that, you know, kind of the point of your 2-year to 10-year kind of that number, as that number tightens in, that basically means that that chart is becoming basically flattening out.
And and, you know, I mean, obviously the chances of a recession increase as interest rates are hiked.
Correct.
And that's being priced into the market right now. But that's been a pretty dramatic breakdown in that yield curve here recently. Well, the day today, you know, is going to be all over the map. We had a huge day Friday. We're off to a good day today so far. But I see a heck of a lot of really, really weak charts out there that are kind of at a crossroads, which we'll talk about when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. To the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show on this last day of January. Hasn't been a very good January for the market. The worst start to the market I've seen in a long, long time. Definitely the worst start during this 12-year move that the market has made. The consensus target price right now, Barry, for the S&P 500, okay, is 5,300. Okay, that's 12 months down the road.
Yep.
Which would make a lot of upside potential, but if you do the math on that 5,300, you've got to use a multiple in the 21 to 22 range to get there. In other words, interest rates got to not go up. They've got to maintain where they were, you know, during this the last year or couple years or so.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've seen, you know, all these you know, a lot of folks increasing, right, the number of rate hikes that are expecting, and none of those same entities have reduced. I haven't really seen any go back and reduce their target prices for the year on the S&P yet. So
no.
I'm sure it'll be, you know, who knows? They're probably they got enough to handle during earnings season at the moment, but. You know, you would expect at some point, right? You would start seeing those flash across the news wire at some point. But
yeah, somebody's got to go wake up Charlie down there at the macro desk, right? Say, hey, Charlie, you know the multiple has really gone down here. You're still using a 22, pal.
Yeah.
But you know, I've always found that I'm ahead of them. Okay, I was way ahead of them on the way up. And I think I'm ahead of them right now. I've already lowered my multiple. You have to. Okay, you have to. Even though interest rates have only gone up 25 basis points so far from the beginning of the year, it would just seem that we're going to continue to see shrinkage in that multiple. And you've already seen the forward PE of the market go from a high of 23 earlier this year, and now we're at 19, okay? So that's kind of an indication of a number that you should be using on forward earnings, all right? The current forward PE kind of reflects what the market thinks it should be at the current time. So to still be using a multiple in that 22-23 range doesn't make any sense to me. Hence, they have a 5,300 target price, which I think is too high right now. And I updated my target price in the newsletter over the weekend with a couple of factors that I put in. I'm now a little bit under the consensus earnings estimates for next year. And I've definitely adjusted my multiple, and that's a pretty significant shock, really, to the target price of the market. So, hey, time will tell. Are they right? Will we be sitting here at 5,300 next January in the S&P 500? Got the midterm elections going up going on in November. You've got a potential of seven rate hikes. I've seen as many as 10 rate hikes this year. What do you think? Will we be sitting at 5,300 a year from now? Okay, what else do we got here? We got a lot to talk about here today. The market continues to be kind of all over the place. I'm sure there's some short covering taking place right now. There's some bargain hunting. Should we go back into ARC here at this level? You know, there's a lot of that going on in the market right now. Greed and fear can flip very, very quickly, as we've seen since the beginning of the year. So there's also a lot of emotion and sentiment that is going on in the market here right now. For me, last week on the earnings front, I thought Apple was just blowout numbers. And I think that has given some lift underneath the NASDAQ. It helps certainly helped on Friday, probably following carrying through to today. But I didn't see the other ones, you know, really participating, Barry. The usual names, the semiconductors, pretty weak. You know, Lam Research and KLA Tencor and AMD was just kind of teetering on the brink there last week. NVIDIA, I didn't think Intel had a very good report last week. I would say the second best report last week, maybe Microsoft, that helped the NASDAQ out a little bit. But again, I didn't see a broad, you know, a lot of tech stocks from different walks of life. That's why this is such an important week, because we're going to get a lot more. And then the third one that was really a blowout was from the financial sector, Visa. And Visa was a big reason for the move in the Dow and the S&P on Friday. But you look at the other fintech stocks, PayPal, Square, you know, they don't look very good at all. So, but there were some standouts last week.
I've been surprised by the, you know, just kind of, and I think most of it has to do with multiples, but even like a Micron, I've been real surprised about, you know, the softness in the semiconductor sector, just because, you know, of course, repricing the multiple is one thing, but in terms of business, I mean, what have we heard about, right? It's the mismatch between demand, you know, supply and demand in the chip sector. So, you know, in terms of revenues, right, and to a certain extent earnings, we've got some very good visibility, right, in terms of what those earnings are and going to be for the future, because the fact that prices, you know, should be higher. They've got, you know, still plenty of demand in that space. It's just, like I said, it's one of those sectors that's kind of, because I feel like if you're going to be back into tech, right, that, you know, kind of the easiest toe to step into the water, right,
should be low PE and should be,
you know, likely semiconductors in general, because that kind of picks and shovels approach. But, you know, they just haven't held up. And I mean, you know, when you know, it's kind of where you got to take the emotion out of it. And as you have, is, you know, kind of parting ways with some of those names. Because the market's dictating that at this point.
But on the other hand, we had a big move out of Seagate Technology last week, which we still own, and Applied Materials has held up pretty well here and had a nice bounce. So, and that's the lower PE end of the spectrum. Micron too is that lower PE. Now last week, by far the best sector in the market, and it's cooled off a little bit here today. The energy sector was the best. Until Chevron reported, and Chevron kind of said that they see energy prices kind of moderating here. Now, that was Chevron, okay? And that has taken just a little bit of the steam off of the rally in energy, although oil's up to 87, and Goldman Sachs has a $100 target price on energy. Others say, you know, in the 80s to 90s area. The financials were pretty good last week. The information technology was pretty good. You know, that was pretty much Apple, I think, and Microsoft driving that. But not much else participated. In fact, the industrials, Caterpillar, had a terrible report. They are impacted by inflation. See, that producer price index, the input into making their products, those guys, there's where you're going to see lowered earnings expectations on those inflationary issues, which we're going to talk about inflation when we come back, and the consumer sentiment numbers that came out. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow up 36, S&P up 30, and NASDAQ up about 236 right now. Hey, ARK Funds is up 5% today, but you look at that chart on ARKK, you know, look, be my guess, that's a pretty bad downtrend that's been going on for a year in that fund. Well, I have very encouraging news on the Best Stocks Now app. The code is done. I mean, the code, Barry, has been written. It's done. It's working. There's only a couple little things that we got to tweak there with the code. The database is intact. We need to connect it again to the front end code, and then update all of get all the current prices and all the current data and everything. And I'm hoping, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it'll be back up this week. And in the meantime, all the app subscribers, I'm giving them the premium newsletter for free and updates throughout the day, live updates throughout the day on the market. And all of our live trading subscribers, I'm connected to them, you know, through the internet and the email. So they're getting all of theirs, and I'm doing a whole heck of a lot more updates during the day until that app is back up. And it's going to be greatly improved when it does come back up. And it's on a much, well, we were on a secure server at HostMonster. I mean, we had a virtual private server that had no other traffic on it, but there was an event that took down a bunch of those servers. They will not tell me what that event was. That's all I can do. And we're going to put that new code up on a much bigger in the cloud, and not on a physical server. And we should be good. So we'll see. We Operation Warp Speed, Barry, over the weekend. At Gunderson Household and amongst the app team. And I want to thank them all for working so hard and getting us so far on this rebuild. Build back better, right?
Right, yeah.
That's
what I was thinking over the weekend.
Yeah.
That's build back better that we can get that we can push through the Gunderson Capital deal
message.
Here, so, yeah.
All right, I want your take on consumer sentiment falling to a near decade low. That's the University of Michigan, okay? That's the gold standard. That's the one we all watch. It came in at 67.2 on Friday. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because on one end of the spectrum, right, you've got, you know, you've got wage growth, right? It may not be real wage growth because of inflation, but right, it feels better when you get an inflow, right? Your check's bigger. But you know, I do think what's kind of blending into a lot of this is the news factor. I mean, you know, you take news, whatever version of the news you listen to or read, you know, and the big story is inflation, right?
Yeah.
And to me as a consumer, right, you know, the easiest place for me to see it on a daily basis is at the gas pump. And then, of course, you know, at the supermarket, it's much more apparent. But you know, I think is, you know, just hearing more and more about it, right? It's and when you take these surveys, right? It's you know, there's a lot of you know, there's a lot of different biases when you're taking surveys, right? The biggest one is usually recency bias, and so you know, the recent stuff you hear, right? Essentially, it's all about inflation in some form or fashion. I mean, it doesn't matter what, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm reading financial news, world news, you know.
It's worldwide.
Yeah.
The inflation issue is worldwide.
It is. I mean, you can look at the Australian numbers, and, you know, take Australia, for example, had, you know, what was it, Bill, before the pandemic, didn't they have like 30 years of continuous GDP growth?
Or yeah, they did.
Some crazy
number. One of the longest records in history.
Right. And so, you know, and so when you look at that, it's certainly a worldwide problem. And that's where, you know, you're getting, I think that's, to me, that's what you're seeing it the most in the consumer side.
Yeah.
No one's worried about the wage growth. It's all about, you know, what the cost of things are.
I noticed too, I went to Costco on Saturday. I noticed a little brisker business and I noticed some hoarding taking place. All right. You know, I saw shopping carts full of cases of stuff, you know.
Right. Well, we did have that snow, you know, I did see it the week before here just because we've had basically two weekends in a row, right, of potential winter weather. And so I certainly saw it last weekend. I didn't get out as much on Saturday, but yeah, I do see, you know, you do see folks, the shelves, you know, whether that end up in someone's cart or just some delivery didn't happen. I have seen it, and more prevalent.
Well, Caterpillar certainly felt it. And those are the kind of stocks that you got to worry about. Some of these, industrials, you know, are hurt by the PPI. I also, in the newsletter, I showed a chart of the CPI and the PPI, and you can just see it. It was kind of, you know, it's been 2% a year forever, right? And all of a sudden, about February February of last year, a year ago, you can just see it just go, whoa, and just take off. You know, I mean, I know a lot of that coincides with us going back, COVID being over, kind of, and going back and everything. But oil was a big part of that, I'm sure. But it... that's not a pretty chart. It looks like it's taken off, and there's no stopping it, which is why I threw in that Paul Volcker history lesson into the newsletter on Friday and Saturday. The drastic action that he took interest rates from 11% to 20%. He intentionally put the economy into a recession. The S&P went down about 30% during that period of time. You know, that's history, okay, that we have back to look at. That was the last inflationary period, really, that we've seen. Okay, Tesla's having a good day, but those long duration stocks, Tesla's not exactly a long duration stock, but Rivian and Lucid Motors definitely are. I would continue to avoid those myself. Let's see how Rivian's doing today. We still own our Tesla. Rivian is up 7.5% today. So, you know, I don't know what to make of that. That usually smacks of some short covering there, because Rivian has been going down every single day for like the last several months. Okay, Goldman Sachs, should we listen to them? They say inflation pressure should ease some after Q1, but won't go away soon. So that's kind of a little bit of good news. They see it moderating, but they don't see it going away anytime soon, which is kind of where I'm at. And, of course, you know, if it gets out of control, it's ugly. It gets ugly. Just ask the late Paul Volcker, who had to deal with that and had to take draconian measures to get it under control. Bank of America calls for 7 rate hikes in 2022. That's every meeting. Basically, 0.25% is what it would take for 7 rate hikes, which would be 1.75%. That's the short-term rate. So the short-term rate would go up to about 2%, right? And we don't know what that long rate would do. If it didn't do anything, you'd get the inverted yield curve, right? If the long rates just stayed there. But I don't think the long rate's going to just stay there. I could see 1.75 or 2 on the short end and maybe 2.75 to 3 on the long end. I mean, that's kind of what I would see. But 7 rate hikes that's pretty draconian, right? That's not good for long duration stocks, and it's not good for long duration bonds. And the bond market continues to look pretty ugly. The Dow is now down. This is all over. It's going to be all over the map today. NASDAQ holding on to its gains. All right, let's see what else we got. The Doves keep dwindling. Steve Englander at Standard Charter, he was really dovish on the rate forecast, and now he's giving in, and he's calling for a lot more hikes than he was before. I guess everybody's kind of throwing in the towel, and he's even saying that he can see some 50 point. He sees the first one being 50. Well, we'll see. Okay, all right. I hear the music, meaning it's time for a break. And when we come back, I'm going to look for the most interesting moves I can see in the market today. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, Barry, you're having a really good day in the market if you own Plug Power, if you own Roblox, if you own Rivian, if you own Lucid, but you haven't had a good year, okay?
Yeah, I've seen some of those names. A lot of action moving up to the upside. I haven't looked at the volume, if they're moving up on significant volume or not, or, you know, could be some short covering. Maybe, you know, also could just be some folks, seeing some potential opportunities, especially lining up at the end of the month. You know how mutual funds tend to, they report some of their holdings at the end of monthly, and you know, parts. So it could be some repositioning at the end of the month. Rebalancing, right? If you're set up to rebalance, where are you going to go, right?
I don't get that
beat down.
I don't get much confidence. I mean, like, okay, so you could be having a really good day today, but think of your last 30 days in a row, right? So the ARK Fund stuff is doing well today. It's up 5%, but you've been beaten to a bloody pulp, right? To get a day like this, I mean, you're down 55% and you're up 5% today. You're still down 50%. Then the next question is, are you going to go running back into Roblox? Well, the thesis hasn't changed. We're in a rising interest rate environment. I'm going to stick with my thesis. I'm going to stick with the charts. The charts don't lie. The stock charts are leading indicators, all right? The market S&P started going down way before the earnings estimate started going down. That tells me that the charts, that the market, the professionals in the market out there saw this contraction of the multiple, which is taking place. And probably a little bit lower earnings estimates out there because of the companies like Caterpillar and others, the industrials that are going to see a hit. McDonald's said, you know, lowered their guidance because of inflation and whatnot. So I'm not running back into ARK today, okay? That's just the bottom line. I'm going to stick to my thesis. I think we're in a rising interest rate environment no matter what today is doing. What Friday did, we're going to stick with our thesis. Okay, some stocks here that, like I say, if you own, let's see, here's another one that's flying today. If you own Ginkgo Bioworks, you're having a good day. Ginkgo is up 12.8% today. But this is a stock that's gone from 16 down to 5. 16 down to 5, okay? And this is one of the ARK Fund biotech stocks. You're going to go running back into that. Plug Power, which is hydrogen fuel cells. It's up 11.8% today. But Barry, this stock has gone from 46 down to 21. But hallelujah, it's up 8-11. This smacks of it, just watching the market for the last 22 years, this smacks of people saying, you know, I made a lot of money on the downside being short this stock, and I'm going to cover that short position, meaning I'm going to buy it to cover. And then one guy does it, and another guy does it. To me, it looks like a very suspect short covering rally. Okay?
I mean, I was looking at a handful of those charts today, too, and just what was shocking is just because I'm looking at, you know, 12-month chart, and just look at where those stocks were, and this, you know, an 8% bump only gets you to, you know, to where on the chart, right? It's one of these things where, you know, the old math of, you know, protecting, you know, reducing your drawdowns, because then the portfolio or the stock doesn't have to work as hard to get back to even, right?
I
mean, you know, it's, you know, a stock's down 50%, it's got to be up 100% to get back to even. So it's, you know, it's a tough road to hoe.
And then I'm just looking at the charts here of the big indexes. You know, the NASDAQ, it used to have support at 14,000. Right around that. Now that becomes resistance, all right? Resistance is right around 14,000, and it's running into that. That becomes resistance. We'll see if they can burst through those resistance levels, and the Dow is kind of rallying back up to its 200-day moving average, which it broke last week, and that's now its resistance level. So we'll see. Like I say, I'm sticking with my thesis. All right, a couple stocks here. We do have a nice one in our emerging growth company, Atkor, ATKR, which manufactures electrical and mechanical products for the non-residential construction and industrial markets. I picked it up a while back. P.E. ratio is 6. And it's been growing by 46% per year over the last 5 years. It's up 10.8%. Now, that's a real deal there. That's not short covering. That's not Plug Power. That's not Ginkgo Bioworks. I mean, it's a company with real earnings and real sales and 46% growth and the P.E. ratio of 6. The symbol is ATKR. It is a small cap, $4.9 billion. And, you know, when it relates to the semiconductors, there's kind of a tale of two. There's some extremes within the semiconductor sector. At one extreme, you've got NVIDIA with a P.E. ratio of 59. And, you know, you can look at these charts. They're pretty dang weak on these chip stocks. They're sitting down there at their 200-day moving average. Very wobbly, but we still own Applied Materials, AMAT. It does not have that P.E. ratio of NVIDIA down there at 57. AMAT is 19 P.E. ratio, and it's holding on to its support level very nicely. It's bouncing today. It's up 3%. And then one other one that is still favorable for me in that chip sector is Broadcom. Which is AVGO. They've been growing by 15% per year. So I'm not anti all tech. I'm anti the really high PE, long duration type of tech that doesn't really have earnings yet or is way out there on the, you know, the PE and price to sales scale. Broadcom has, it had a P.E. ratio of 19 on Friday. Now it's hitting 20 today. It's up 2.7%. So it's a crazy market right now. It is really frenetic. It's moving all over the place. I'm going to stick with the theme of we're in a rising interest rate environment. I think that's the one sure thing that we can build around going forward. All right, if you'd like to see our newsletter from over the weekend, put a lot of work into it, you get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like to talk to us about fortifying and looking at your portfolio, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm.
All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.